We're looking at what is the main thing today. So we have the next picture. There we go. The next one. So we're up on the cruise, and it's pouring rain, and I go away, and I'm up on a hike up in the woods. It's at 3 o'clock, and I'm an hour away from the boat, and the boat leaves at 5. What is the main thing? Don't miss the boat. Next couple pictures. Next one, there we go. Next one, we're in Thailand, and we're at the snake temple, and we're looking over the gate into where all the cobras are. What is the main thing? Don't fall in there. All right, number three. Friend of mine, the doctor, 63 years old, when this happened, he was at a Six Flags somewhere, and he got into the roller coaster where there's nothing underneath you, you know, you're strapped in, and they forgot to strap him in. They didn't click him in, and he's yelling at them, "Don't forget about me," and the roller coaster begins to go, and now you're going to be doing all the loops and up and down and everywhere. What was the main thing? Do not let go. And he held on up and down for a minute and a half. He got the ride done. And as soon as he got off, he had a heart attack, ended up in the hospital. True story. Number four. My son, 17 years old, just got his license, had a little beater car. He goes into the parking lot of La Sierra Academy, and he's navigating around where all these posts were, and a pretty girl waves at him. What is the main thing? Watch where you're going. $1,000 accident later. I had to call Bob Mokovich and get the car towed. And we're looking at a series this week, this month, by the book by Dr. William Johnson called Where Are We Headed? Adventism After San Antonio. If you'd like to get one, the donation, I got, I think, 75 of them, maybe one per family, if you like. Put a donation there and work that out there. Love to have you read. It's an important book. Editor of the Review for 25 years, 60 years working for the church. Wonderful missionary. I had him in the seminary. And he's so concerned about a number of issues that are happening in the church that he said he writes a book. And our Pacific Union decided it was so important, they published it themselves and sent a copy to every pastor in our union. And I just felt like, I want you to read it. You need to know. But I will take some of the themes in it and work on a sermon. And he starts with this. From Stephen Covey, make sure the main thing is always the main thing. And he asked the question of Adventists. What is the main thing for Adventism? What would you say? And it tells a story of being in India. I have preached in this church at Spicer College in India. Some of our people are from there. And he said we had a missionary come from somewhere in India. Good missionary, good person. Preached good sermons every day. When it got down to the Friday night of the final sermon, for some reason, he decided to preach about wedding rings and wedding symbols. The Indians, they have some wedding rings, but they also wear this tali, this gold necklace. And women all over the country wear it. You have to wear it. You're married. And somehow he preached his final week of prayer sermon that you should give that up, and then made an appeal for people to come forward and give up their wedding signs to Jesus. He was sick. Is that the main thing? Is that what we stand for and who we are? They invited me to come and do a camp meeting in New England. Hilda's family is back there. We stayed with them. The president wanted to have more grace in his conference, so he had a whole group of us that were there. So I have the night meeting during the week, and I'm preached Sunday night, Monday night. Sermons that I got to get a good response all over the world. Nobody talking to me. No one thanking me. No one talking to me, asking questions afterward. And I thought, I better preach something else. So I did a sermon I have all over the world on church standards and putting another spin. Long line afterwards. Oh, that's what we need to hear more of. Okay. I went up to the ABC. Man standing there at the ABC. Oh, that was very good tonight. Tomorrow night, speak against television and women wearing pants. I said to Hilda, we're not in La Sierra, California anymore. Is that the main thing? I went to the Philippines the first time. I forget, 97, 99, somewhere back in there. And all the Filipinos in my church said to me, Pastor Dan, preach grace. They need to hear more grace. So every night, basketball stared at him, preaching grace. After three nights of grace, the fourth night, the team was already there. I'm getting ready to go. And the phone rang at the front desk. They called me. I went there. And a lady just blasted me. Why are you preaching so much about love and grace? We've had plenty of that. We don't need any more grace, 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 grace all the time. We need to hear the law. We need to hear an Adventist sermon. You need to preach on how we're different from the Catholics. That's the main thing. That's what you want me to do. That's who we are. HMS Richards. You all know HMS Richards? Should be a picture, yeah. So we have some people that are in church usually here every week. I had dinner with them. His father died, funeral in a few days. Had dinner with him this week, and he began to tell me HMS Richards stories. Great story. His father, some of you will know this, had a barbershop down by the conference office in Glendale by the hospital there on the corner for many years, just passed away. There he is, and the church member from our church. And evidently, HMS Richards often came into the place there, cut his hair, good friends. And they said he had a football pool, this barber. And he had a little bowl there, and you could put a few dollars in, and you would put in your card predicting what teams would win on a particular week. And then whoever got the best would get all that money from the pool. And there were Adventists that came in there and said, you can't do that. You're an Adventist. That's gambling. But he had put a name in for Dr. Pastor Richards. He put one in. He put some money in for Richards would have a way chance to win. And he said, Richards put one in. And the people, well, if Richards did it, I can do it. And they would put theirs in. Came down to the end of the season. And they did the drawing to see who won. And Richards won the pool. And Richards came in. And they took all that cash and handed him and said, you won the football pool. And Richards said, I was just on my knees in my office praying. Because I'm going to Honduras or somewhere to do evangelism. And I didn't have any money for the Bibles. And I was praying to God for the money. And here you've given it to me. I'll use it for that. From the football pool. Is the main thing fighting over church standards and whether that's gambling or not and judging people who don't follow it? Or is the main thing preaching Jesus in Honduras? You want one more? This was Charles Teal's funeral last Sabbath afternoon. One of my great friends, great person. I was his pastor for 15 years. And they didn't ask me to get up, 3-hour funeral, but if I had stood up, this is the story I would have told. There was a day he came to the library where Hilda works, and for some reason he had a book stuck in the belt behind it in his back. And one of the librarians said to him, what's the deal with the book, Dr. Teal? And he said, it's a church manual. So why are you carrying a church manual back there? He said, because the doctor told me I needed to put something rigid back there, and I couldn't think of anything more rigid than the church manual. The church manual is a good thing. It helps us know what to do all over the world. But it is not the main thing. Policies and rules on how we do church are not the main thing. And this is what William Johnson wanted to say. He says, I was at the General Conference for 25 years, editor of the review. He said, I've been in every meeting. The General Conference is filled with good people who come from all over the world, and they get a job at the General Conference, and they spend the rest of their time coming up with programs to take all over the world. We have had thousands of programs in 25 years. Good programs that went all over the world. What's the problem? We're still here after all those programs. His question is, where Stephen Covey says the main thing has to be the main thing. Is the reason that the message has not gone all over and we haven't finished the work, is that maybe it's because we're not making the main thing the main thing. And he said, what's the main thing? The main thing is Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. For what I received, I pass on to you as of what? First importance. Above all the other things that we do as a church, everything that we say, everything that we preach, everything we do around the world, he says, of first importance, here it is, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Amen? The main thing is always Jesus. What does it say? John 1:18, no one has ever seen God except the one and only has made him known. Acts 4, verse 12, salvation is by no one, under no other name. In Revelation chapter 5, there is nobody else that can open the scroll. There's only one, the Lamb who was slain for our sins. There is no other main thing. There is only one main thing, and that is Jesus Christ. He tells a story in the book about Uriah Smith. They were having this big debate in 1888. They call it the 1888 movement. They're in Minneapolis, and the two young preachers come from California. And they come back there, and they're preaching Jesus, and they're preaching grace. And the old guard and the General Conference president and the editor of the Review, Uriah Smith, are not happy. And Uriah Smith wrote a whole series of editorials in the Adventist Review. And he said, yes, it is true that Jesus died for our sins, and we have forgiveness in Jesus. But from then on, we have to finish the rest of it by keeping the law. And Ellen White stood up and wrote a testimony and said, God has shown me that Uriah Smith is walking around like a blind man because he had left Jesus being the main thing. And William Jonathan talks about how over the last generation we have had a bunch of writers, I can give you all the names if you wanted to, of a movement in the Adventist church that's called the last generation theology, sometimes called the harvest principle. Is the idea that, yes, it's true that Jesus died for our sins and we were justified back then. But from then on, if you want to make it into heaven someday, you will have to offer God perfect righteousness, last generation righteousness. They call it the harvest principle. God is waiting for the harvest to become ripe. And when we are perfect and like, then we will be fit to be able to go to heaven. I had a teacher at La Sierra, wonderful person, good friend of mine. But he retired and moved away. Won't tell you any more than that. And I'm reading the letter to the editor in the Adventist Review, and all of a sudden he wrote this. He said, everywhere I go, all I hear is preachers preaching love and grace. Grace, grace, grace. Love, love, love all the time. He's talking about me probably. I was his pastor for 15 years. And he says, we need more sermons on the judgment. We need more sermons on the second coming. And what does grace have to do with that? Are you serious? I called him up. I said, I'm so sorry. But I preached a sermon the next week on how grace has something to do with the second coming. Amen? He came to see me when he came back to La Sierra. Apologized. It is always grace. There never comes a place where we have something plus grace and plus Jesus. And he takes a lot of points in this book about the book of Galatians, where we just spent a whole quarter on it, where Paul says, do you really think you start with Jesus and then you go to something else? No, it is Jesus from beginning to end. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus is the finished work. We are only saved by Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus is the main thing. And if we want this message to go all over the world, it has to be Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen? That's the gospel that we stand for. what to say in the three angels' messages that will be the final message to go all over the world. It's not talking about perfection. What does it say will go to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people? It is the everlasting gospel, the good news of Jesus. I absolutely believe in living a holy, righteous life. But the main thing is the main thing is Jesus. And he goes down all the rest of our doctrines. Do we love the Sabbath? Do you love the Sabbath? I love the Sabbath, and I preach the Sabbath all over the world. And I love preaching on the Sabbath and teaching people about it. But he said the Sabbath is not the main thing. The second coming, we are Adventists. That is what we stand for. It's at the heart of our faith that someday Jesus is coming to take us away. It is absolutely fantastic. It isn't the main thing. The health message. Are you proud that we have hundreds of hospitals all over the world, that we live longer than everybody else if you follow the principles? I am proud of our health message. But he said, it is not the main thing. The main thing is Jesus. Christ died for our sins. Daniel chapter 3. We have the fiery furnace, and those three guys are being thrown into the fiery furnace. It's been heated up seven times, and they hold them, and they hold them by their arms and their feet, and they sling them into the fire. They're flying through the air. They know that the next second they are going to have searing pain. They are going to hit the fire, and they're going to burn, when all of a sudden, there's a fourth in the fire with them. Who is it? Even Nebuchadnezzar knows that the Son of Man is Jesus. Is in the fire. They don't burn at all. It doesn't touch them. There is no other way. You're in a fire. There is no other way out of this. There's no fire extinguisher to put the fire out. You can't jump fast enough or high enough to keep your feet from being behind the fire. You are going to burn. There's no air conditioner that will take care of this fire. You remember the old joke with our dear friend Schuller down the street at Crystal Cathedral, the old joke. Satan had a whole bus of people, couldn't get them into heaven. Jesus wanted to get them into heaven. Peter says, bring them back next week. Satan brings them up a week later, and he says, don't ask me to do that again. Why, what happened? This guy, Billy Graham, put up a pulpit, tried to convert everybody, and this guy, Schuller, tried to air condition the place and raise money. No, you cannot air condition hell. You cannot air condition a fire. There was only one way those young men were going to survive that fire. It was Jesus. Jesus is the main thing. These people told me another story on HMS Richards. HMS Richards was walking. He's famous for walking and reading the Bible while he was walking all over Glendale, from his house down to the Voice of Prophecy building. And this barber, Ernie Lynn, picked him up. And they're in the car, and he said, could I ask you a question, Elder Richards? And he says, I've got a Baptist friend. I've tried to witness to him about our faith, but he so far has not been willing to accept it. What will happen to him? What will happen to him? Will he get into heaven or not if he doesn't accept our truth? And Richard said, I think I know an answer for that. Come over to my. And they stopped off at their house. The quartet had remodeled the garage and made a wonderful study. 10,000 books. They're all at La Sierra now, the Richards Library. And he walked in here, and he looked at all these books, and he went down, and he found a big, thick book, like an encyclopedia. It's in here, I think. And he began to leaf through these pages of this big, thick book. And he finally got to the back of the book, he said. And there he said, here, look at this. There's the answer for the Baptist. And here were two words, love Jesus. Amen? There's the answer. Whatever you are, wherever you come from, if you love Jesus, you will get in. If you love Jesus, certain things will happen, of course. Love Jesus. Jesus is the main thing. Amen? Jesus. The other story, famous, famous story. A guy named Karl Barth was one of the great theologians of our century. He's in Switzerland. He's writing. Came out with commentary on Romans and Ephesians and great books. After all those years, late in his life, he's 70-some years old, almost 80 years old. 1962, he's at the University of Chicago. And he had a meeting with all these PhD students and all these bright, wonderful, the smartest in the world in theology at University of Chicago. One young man raised his hand and he says, if you could take all your theology, he has a set of books like this. If you could take all of your theology of all your lifetime and summarize it all in one sentence, what would it be? Famous story. And Karl Barth said, if I had to summarize it all in one sentence, it would be the song I learned on my mother's knee. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that story has been told thousands of times by preachers like me. Is that a good story? You can read all the theology and you can get all the degrees, but it comes down to this one thing. Jesus loves me, this I know, the Bible tells me so. So where are you with that? Is Jesus the main thing for you? Yes, we keep the Sabbath, and yes, we have the second coming, and yes, we want to live a life for health, and yes, we want to give and give money and do all the other things that we do as godly, righteous people. But it always has to be the main thing. Wonderful, crazy story. William Willimon was the chaplain of Duke for many, many, many years. I have books and sermons by him. And he tells a story how he was a young pastor, just got married in his new district, and someone died, and the funeral was at another church, black church down the street. And he went to support this family. So a preacher is preaching. This is a pound the pulpit, shouting kind of preacher. I have a picture of that. If we can turn to that. Here's the open casket. And this preacher is preaching away about Joel. And finally he came down to the end and he said, you know, it's too late for Joel. He would like to have had more time to get his act together. He would like to have another chance. He wish he could have more time, but he doesn't have any more time. It's too late for old Joe, but it's not too late for you. Maybe you think you have some more time to get your act together, and you'd have a little more time. You will finally get things right with God and your family, everybody. But be careful. Don't be like Joe. It's too late. Then he told a story about people who went to a funeral. And on their way from the funeral to the graveside, he said, a Greyhound bus rolled through, and a whole group of people died. He said, it could happen to you today. Don't wait for the perfect time. Give your life to Jesus. They got out to the car and the pastor was mad. He said, how could he do that? How could he do that to that family? Use their funeral time to preach and make an appeal like that and scare people like that. That was disgusting. That was terrible and manipulative. And his new young pastor's wife sat in the car and she said, you're right. I never seen anybody do that before at a funeral. It was manipulative, and yes, it was disgusting. But it was also true. Also true. Have you made the main thing? The main thing. It's Jesus. Christ died for your sins. Amen?